I tell you what, man, these two, I don't know where the hell they get their money, but they got a lot.
Really?
Mr. Chair, we're ready.
Terrible.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Born ready.
Okay, I would like to call the Monday, October 1st Finance Committee meeting, 10 o'clock Finance Committee meeting to order. I'd like to welcome everyone, and we'd like to start with a motion to approve the minutes from the October 1st meeting. We have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item one passes. Public comments. Is there anyone here to just speak generally to us from the public on any matter that we have in the committee? Okay, let's go to item number three. And Marcy, we'll turn that over to you to talk about the funding sources for stormwater improvement program.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good morning. First, I'd like to briefly describe the stormwater improvement program. It's a three-step funding approach towards addressing the town's stormwater issues. The first step is an estimated $100,000 per year to perform a study of an area. The second step is an estimated $1 million to perform design of the improvements. This could be for a portion of the area or the entire area, depending on the size and the scope. The third step is a construction phase, which is estimated at $10 million. Currently, Snee Farm is in the construction phase, Old Village is in the design phase of two of its basins, and Hobcaw Point is in the study phase. The current construction phase and the design phase and the study phase that you see, they are funded at this point. There also is, for study of future areas that are shown, $100,000 per year in the five-year plan. That's what the extent of our funding at this point. So we're going to look at some potential funding sources for this program. So they are the stormwater fees, the stormwater funding from the town's fund balance policy, impact fees, which are from the municipal facilities and equipment, and millage. What I'm not including is accommodations or hospitality tax, as they would require General Assembly changes at the state level to incorporate those. I'm not including TIF or tax increment financing at this point, as it does require concurrence with the county and the school district, plus it would have to meet three of a series of criteria. And I'm not including the Municipal Improvement District, or a MID, because that does require owner-occupied homes to agree to that taxing avenue. So now I'm going to look at each of the funding. So first we have stormwater fees. So they're authorized by the code for all property owners in the town to provide direct and indirect benefits from having an improved and well-maintained system. And stormwater fees are allowed to pay debt financing. So our stormwater fees are currently $60 per year for equivalent residential unit, or ERU, and generate about $2.7 million. The fees began in 1997 at $18, and you can see their progression to 2014 when they were increased to $60 per residential ERU. Each additional $20 in this fee would generate another $875,000. And also what we've provided is a few other local jurisdictions and their ERU fees. The next is the town stormwater fund balance policy. It's a calculation that's done on the general fund's fund balance, and that half of available funds are then transferred to the capital fund to provide a source of funding for transportation and stormwater projects. An estimate of what that amount's going to be is included each year. Then after the June 30th audit is complete, we do a true up at mid-year. It looks like our true up this year is going to be about almost $1.9 million. It has averaged $2.3 million over the last 5 years. A majority of this funding is expended on pipe repair and rehabilitation. And because this is revenue is economically sensitive to any changes in the general fund revenue structure, it's not really recommended as a reliable source for funding the stormwater improvement plan. Next, we have municipal facilities and equipment impact fee. These fees are for growth expansion and are not good for when it comes, you can't use them for repair and replacement of normal wear and tear on the system as a whole. So only a portion of these could be used for a project if we were to look at what part of that project is based on growth or expansion. Since they are volatile, development driven, and can only be used for expansion, not repair, they're not recommended as a reliable source of funding for this program. Millage. Next, we have millage. Millage is a possible source of funding for the Stormwater Improvement Program. Each mill generates about $865,000. There are state limits on how much operating millage can increase in 1 year, but municipalities are able to bank 3 prior years of your potential millage growth. Right now, the town has 7.7 mills that are banked for operating. Your debt millage is allowed to be increased to cover your current debt. In this current fiscal year, we have equivalent of 4 mills that are transferred from the general fund to cover our current debt service. And that's before you add any additional debt service. So that also could be a source of where you could increase your mills. The impact to the taxpayer for a residential home that's appraised at $450,000, 1 mill would be $18 per year. And of course, that amount would fluctuate depending on the appraised value of the home. So the town has a master bond ordinance if we were to use stormwater revenue bond for the with the fees. That allows us to do multiple borrowings against our stormwater fees as long as the revenues are 115% of what our debt service is. For debt estimates, for each $10 million at a slightly conservative interest rate of 4%, we are looking at just over 3 currently for our GO bond. For 20 years, you're looking at $895,000 repayment per year. So, in summary, debt service for each $10 million borrowed would be approximately $895,000 in debt service. For every $20 in stormwater fee increase, you're going to generate about $875,000. For every mill increase, whether it's operating or debt, you're going to generate about $865,000 per mill. The impact to the taxpayer on stormwater fees would be that flat amount annually that you increase the fee by. For millage increase, it would be about $18 per year for a appraised house at $450,000.
That was really good. You want to repeat that?
No.
Thank you, Marcy. It's really good, because 8 of the 9 elected people are in this room right now. And even though this may, well, Gary left. even though this is a Finance Committee meeting, this is something we're all going to be forced to deal with. And what Marcy said, pretty much without saying these words, was we have this problem and we don't have the money to fund it. Here's your menu of choices. So at some point in time, we're going to have to make that decision on which direction that we go into. It was good for this to come to us today, because I'm not so sure it's too early to start the discussion, because it's a lot of money. It's an awful lot of money. And the nice thing is we have some tools that bonding and things that the town has done a good job of for keeping our rates that'll be advantageous to that. But I'd like to open it up for any discussion on where we may go. I have brought up one of the thoughts in our discussions that I think I'm the only one that thinks this, so it's probably not a great idea. But when we start compartmentalizing funds, that's good, I think. Because then you can't like go steal some money for this if you want AstroTurf on a soccer field or something like that. But to me, I just feel like it might not be a bad idea to also look at just raising the general millage, period, and having that money come in. And but one of the things that you both have mentioned that I get if I were in your chairs is that if that just shows more money in the pot, we've got 9 people up here trying to all get into that pot, and it doesn't fix what could arguably be considered as the biggest problem that we've got in the town right now, and that's drainage. And as we've talked about, Moody's and Standard & Poor's and the bonding agents right now are, they're dinging cities that aren't addressing this. If you don't address your stormwater or whatever, you're going to get in trouble with those bonding agencies. So that's good. And so I think that, I guess a question to you is, when would you like us to come up and say, this is what when will we all be able to discuss these things?
Well, sir, sooner rather than later would be great.
Yes.
We've learned through the Public Services Committee that the design is likely to be complete for that portion of the Old Village prior to the end of the calendar year. And we couldn't take that design and send it for construction without a funding source.
Well, you've explained well, you know, study, design, fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, study costs this, funding $10 million. It would help us to know what's the immediate charge, you know, construction of the Old Village.
Yeah, that's right.
Design of this, so that we know what the what that amount is and what we need to go to.
Yeah.
So if we had that, I think we could...
The latest estimate, which I believe was shown last month, had the those two basins in the Old Village somewhere in the $8 million area. And I recall the gentleman being here saying that's probably a low number because of some other factors. So I think we're in the ballpark for $10 million. And we're probably in the ballpark for $10 million, give or take a little, on all of those projects going forward. And so it would be very helpful if it's council's desire to proceed as quickly as possible with construction, drainage construction of those basins in the Old Village, to have an answer prior to the end of the year on a funding source.
Okay, one more question.
$1 million.
And then I'm going to open it up. So, but the issue with that, though, is you're not really, although you are looking to fund that problem, you're looking for a funding program, a funding source, mm-hmm. perpetually, so that then you can go to the next area and the next area and the next area. Could we do a partial $10 million right now for that and then look at the other later, or would you rather have this all done in one swoop?
Ideally, we'd have the funding for a long-term program.
Right. Right.
Because what you're saying is exactly correct. Even if we take care of this $10 million chunk now and say it's a $20 increase in the stormwater program, that's only one project that it'll construct. And that money's tied up for 20 years because it's a 20-year bond.
Right.
So we would need incremental increases over a period of probably every 2 to 3 years of an incremental increase. I'm just using stormwater fees as an example of, say, $20, $20, $20 to keep tackling region by region the most problematic stormwater areas of town.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have a couple things. Thank you, Marcy, for that presentation. First of all, may we get a copy of that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so PDF is fine, email. Good reference numbers for sure. the second thing is, I just want to ask, what is our current status? I know I can pull this up myself, but in terms of issuing another GO, or for that matter, what, can this be a revenue, water? No, this is strictly GO, right?
General obligation.
Right. So, sorry. All right, so what is our situation now in terms of being able to offer it from our debt allowance? What's left? It was 30-something, but we have something we're already going to issue?
As far as the amount?
What we're allowed to still keep our AAA rating. And
that's right. It was, you recall the max number?
So we will be issuing, it looks like closing is scheduled tentatively for February 2nd for the $35 million mm-hmm. That we'll be going out for. That will leave in our 8%, if we were to look within our 8% capacity, that would leave just over $8 million in that without going to a referendum. I will tell you that rating agencies, Standards and Poor's, they use your debt as about 10% of how they judge your AAA rating, your rating, and Moody's uses it as 20% of what they, when they look at your rating, how what your debt ratio is. Mm-hmm. We're within tolerance. I mean, we look good. We are AAA rated.
Mm-hmm. So the $35 million is, again, I apologize. I should have pulled this all up before this meeting. $35 million is already all spoken for?
It was approved in the budget for Fire Station 4 and the Public Works facility.
Okay, so not at all for any kind of drainage-related issues.
Yes, ma'am.
So the only drainage we have an SRF we're using for that?
Yes, ma'am, through the state at Snee Farm.
Right, so we're not right now using any GO money for that?
Correct.
Okay. And you see, that's kind of very good questions, because we're using, we're not reserving, that wouldn't be the right word, but general obligation type projects, like a fire station, mm-hmm. like a public works thing, we're using some of the GO capacity. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the stormwater side, you could issue an increase in the rate, and you could also float a revenue bond associated with that revenue source, which wouldn't impact our debt capacity at the end of the day. So we're trying to give you as much flexibility in borrowing as possible.
And last year, I recall, this is prior, council had approved the ability to have multiple SRFs going at once, and we're only going to have one right now, or we're going to have multiple ones already?
We keep applying, but still at the end of the day, it requires debt service payments.
Right.
So it still has to be, but yes.
I understand that we have to have the source.
As long as their interest rates are favorable, we plan to keep applying.
Okay. And those are always fixed, but they're like 5 years. Isn't that right? 5 to 10?
We're doing, I believe it's a 15-year one for the, and the master bond ordinance that we put in place will allow parity among bonds, any type. So it could be an SRF, it could be a revenue. It just allows you to use that funding stream to pay off different type of debt, not necessarily specific SRF.
Okay. A couple more things. So I just came from a conference where we actually got to hear from a top municipal bond portfolio manager, and one of the things she brought up and I was able to ask a question about was, you know, the fact that this is a problem. Flooding and drainage issues are facing cities and all over, not to mention a whole lot of them simply have crumbling infrastructure, especially the major cities. So I think we're on top of it, but I think we'd all like to see it happen sooner rather than later. And then the other big issue, which is the elephant in the room that probably most people are aware of, is that rates are absolutely climbing now. We just passed the 3% mark on the 10-year T-note the other day, and I think there's a very good chance a year from now this will cost us a lot more. I think we just keep all that in mind. And just one last thing before I stop talking. You mentioned all these other sources that we can't really rely on, but that are there. And among those things like impact fees and things, okay, we seem to have been doing a pretty good job of having an excess for the last couple of years. I guess what I'm trying to say is I would really like to think that we explore all options before we raise taxes on our citizens even one penny. So I'll just put that out there, that whatever we can do to keep the millage where it is and keep the stormwaters, I'd love to see us try. Now, if it's impossible, that's another situation, and then we have to be able to demonstrate that, because let's face it, that's one of the most unpopular things you could possibly do to your citizens is raise their taxes. So, and I don't just mean popular. I mean, it's one of the most unpalatable. So we will try very, very hard to figure out how to make this work and make the numbers work. Thank you.
Thank you. Good, great comments. Mr. Bustos?
Yeah. Hey, Eric, Marcy. Looking out 10, 20 years, and I know we're trying to fix the old village and the old part of Mount Pleasant, Snee Farm, and then in the outer areas of Mount Pleasant, the drainage is pretty good because, you know, we've changed the way we do things as the years have gone by. But when we get this put in the older part of Mount Pleasant, Snee Farm, and we work out again, the newer drainage systems and ponds and all that won't be as new as they are now. So I think what I would look for is some method that would not only allow us to do what we have to do now, but establish a reserve for maintenance going out 15, 20 years, because, you know, next councils in the future, you know, we probably need to build it now so that, you know, with storms and different things that happen, that our drainage is good, but we have a source of a funding source for maintaining all that, because that can be just as expensive, or if not more expensive, than putting in drainage now, which we're going to go through in the old part of town. So whatever, when y'all look at recommending something, yes. I'd like you, if you would, have a view of going out to that 15, 20 years and establishing a fund, or establishing a balance that is sufficient to do maintenance as well.
Thank you, Mr. Bustos. Mr. Santos?
Let me ask you a question. Didn't we, in our last meeting, actually kind of lower the tax rate for our citizens because of the value of the mill when you were in here last time talking to us?
Yes, sir. So the local option sales tax, that factor we did increase, so it does lower the tax bills. And for the same average size house, it lowered it, I believe, $16 per year.
So see there? We're actually like, we like lowering taxes for our citizens when we have to. But what gets me is there's no press in here to tell the citizens that we lowered their taxes. Now, if we raise them, it'd be full of press. Yeah. No offense to her, she just came in, but still, you know, that's a big thing, and we ought to get that out there and let our citizens know.
We did actually make that as a pretty bold announcement that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that we could say, okay,
didn't see it anywhere in the press.
You're right, you didn't.
Well, it kind of wasn't us, but
no, it wasn't us.
But it did happen. Take credit anyway. One other thing that maybe it's not related to stormwater, but that jumps out at me in the whole presentation is, we're using 4 mills of operating GO fund money, I mean general fund money, to transfer to debt service. Wouldn't it be better for both of you to have a debt service fund with more money? And that speaks to what Mr. Bustos said, because because the need for the maintenance of these things are going to go up, to have enough debt service money in there to say we're going to take half of that and it's for not the new but the replacement, I think will be good. I don't know how we get there. I don't know if it's part of it, but if I were in your chair, I would not want to be pulling from that to go to the debt service as much as we're doing. Lucky we can.
Yeah.
But if we can't, then the whole train stops. So I don't know.
Another.
Yes.
Piggybacking on that idea and on Mr. Busto, Councilman Busto's comment, we actually in public service saw various choices on how to address the old village in the design phase, and there was a pretty significant difference in maintenance depending on which way we chose. And I'd bring that up because it's the importance of all the committees working together and all of us communicating closely, and it's really helpful to have everyone here because we chose the gravity-based system that is substantially lower maintenance in the long run than a much more extensive pump system. And so I think that's one of the things we should keep in mind too, is let's try to pick things that have the lower maintenance. I know Councilman Santos has mentioned that many times in regard to AstroTurf. So there you go again, that's not drainage, but it is maintenance. And when you can lower maintenance over the years, let's face it, that addresses that question up front.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Bustos?
No, sir.
Anything else, Mr. Santos? Anything else? Okay, thank you. So I guess the direction is that you'll come back to us with the recommendations, or at least the choices for us to make that recommendation. I think it's going to be hard for us, but we'll get through it. This was really good. And if you can send it not just to us, but to all the council, so that there's some really good things in there about millage and all of that and what that means. So thank you very much.
You're talking about this presentation?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's I was glad for some that. Great stuff in there. Good job. Thank you. Okay. to the next agenda item. Consideration of funding a request for the Shem Creek Task Force. I'd like to give a little bit of information on that before we move forward. The chair of the task force is here with us right now, and maybe some other task force members, I'm not sure. I'd like to give a little bit of I had to be educated on this. I didn't know, and I'd spoke often about how, you know, it's a little bit difficult because this was Mayor Page's task force that she put together, and then I was quickly informed that it was actually Mr. Owens that made them that brought up to Mayor Page that this would be a good idea. And so the task force was put in place, and the task force are really good people that have done a lot of really hard work. And for a long time, the purpose of getting to a plan that could show what's deteriorating in that area and the need for this council to take some action to make sure that it's protected has always been in their mind. So with the assistance of the town and the task force, they had put together an RFP and had gone out for proposals and received them, but found out that the funding was inadequate. And so there was a request to come back to us to fund this. There was a discussion internally, I don't think it was officially at any of the meetings, but how are we able to address the task force and still stay within plan? And there were some discussions about the Comprehensive Planning Committee actually addressing this and how important it was to the comprehensive plan as well. So we thought, wow, wouldn't it make sense to just put this as part of that? When that word got back to the task force, they said, we're not against having this part of the comprehensive plan, but can we finish our work and have the results be a part of the comprehensive plan? And it was like, well, you know, that makes sense. So today, what I don't think is fair is for us to just keep pushing them back 30 more days. I don't even care what the news is. I think they need to get some news. And so today, there is a request for $125,000 to be put into the budget. Whatever this committee decides today, it will go to council, and the council will decide whether or not this funding's in place or not, or the funding will be approved or not approved. Right now, there is $50,000 currently in the budget, so there would be an increase. So that's the background that I gave. I don't even, was I close? Okay. Was I close?
So you're asking, so we're looking at
$75,000? So today, we're asking for $125,000 for a funding request for the Shem Creeks Task Force. It will include
that's
the 50.
That's to supplement the 50.
It's to already supplement the 50.
So it'll be 75 is what you're looking for?
No. It's 125 plus the 50 that's already there.
Okay.
Yes. So that is the issue that we have on the agenda today.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the request.
Okay. We have a motion. We can't.
What dies unless you get a second?
I know. I'm waiting.
Well, you can get it.
I'll second for a purpose of the discussion. Ms. Landy? I've seconded it. Yes. Any comment?
No, we keep prolonging these.
Oh. I'm sorry. I said we keep prolonging these things. I think that the task force has done a good job. I think they're, you know, they have been pushed along a little bit, extended, but I think it's done. We need to go ahead and incorporate what they have, but I just don't think another, we have so many competing demands. I just don't see another $125,000 to that.
Mr. Santos?
Yeah, I got a question. Eric, I don't know if you can answer this or whoever can answer it. I think one of the things that worries me is that if we have if a hurricane does come this way, God forbid, and there's some serious damage to Shem Creek, around Shem Creek, I think one of the worries is that developers can come in and rebuild bigger buildings and things like that. Are we protected from that via the overlay district or are we not? That was one of the questions that was asked. And I think they're looking at these kind of questions and trying to find answers to them. And that's one thing that concerns me is the fact that if something were to happen down there, that they can come in and build another parking garage type thing without us being able to protect it. And I think that's what their research is looking for, the answers to some of those questions as, will that happen? Can that happen? Because certainly we need to protect Shem Creek. So does that make sense, my question?
Of course it does. It's a great question. In terms of height and density and things like that, that's controlled by zoning. So whatever the height is today would be the height when if in case it gets rebuilt. I think the issue is the proximity to the water and at what point would federal requirements be imposed on existing property owners that may force reconstruction much further away from the water body, from the creek, than it is now, and then what would that mean to the character of the creek and things like that. So as I understand it, that is, and there are other issues that we could talk about that I know the task force has been looking at, but that is one of the more, it feels like one of the more critical issues that doesn't have a clear answer today.
Well, let me ask you, for instance, we'll use the parking garage. It was zoned for 45 feet, and they decided, previous councils decided to raise it to 55, so they did. And they raised 9 other properties around to 55. And then once the public found out about it, the uproar came, they lowered 9 of them back down to 45 and left the one at 55. So I guess one of my concerns is, how do we stop something like that? Is there anything that we can do to maintain the 45 feet heretofore, just all
no, sir.
For eternity? So any council can change that.
Council can change the height.
Let me make one comment. What you just said is one issue that they've taken up.
Right.
So, big issue. There are things that I didn't even know about until I started to read the report about how, you know, some restaurants are having people not park in the spaces, park in front of somebody's house. There's a lot of things that deal with the quality of life in that whole creek that they are taking up. So you bring up a good one, but there are others. And the concern that the task force had that I was made aware of is that this stuff's going pretty, it's deteriorating fast. And if the longer we wait, the more that it becomes a problem. Ms. Woods-Flowers.
I won't take long. I know you'll probably have a lengthy agenda, but
no,
and I have to get my name and address right. My name is Cheryl Woods-Flowers, and I live at 1529 Old Village Drive, and appreciate so much having the opportunity to make a couple of comments. This task force, as most of you know, has been in place for well over 2 years. And we've got about a dozen hanger-oners that have devoted just hours of diligent time, not just at the committee meetings every month, but also in study before we ever come to those meetings. And it, Gary, you're right, it is a serious issue with the buildings. And here's the issue with the real issue with the buildings is this, that we just dodged another bullet, and we all know that. But if that hurricane had come in, like we have seen before in the past, if those buildings get destroyed, not only do we have a height issue, they're going to have to move away from that creek under current conditions. They're going to be pushed away from the creek, and yes, they will have to be taller because they're going to have to go along with whatever FEMA says. So we are very much concerned about that. It will absolutely change the character of what you see down there now. We are looking for something we can have in our hands to potentially give us the ability to potentially get some waivers or get some ability to move away from that, as some communities have. And that's part of it. You're right. And that is a big part of it, because we love the character down there. And that would just be a terrible thing. I don't know about y'all, but not after this hurricane, but one last year. I walked down there and looked, and I thought, oh, my God, did we ever get lucky again? And we can't say that every time. But we're also looking at other things. We have, in this study, we've looked at an area that is bigger than just Shem Creek. There's a Shem Creek study area, and I invite everybody to get a copy of that. I'm sure all of that's online. Because we looked at other things. We looked at safety in the creek. Go down there sometime, and you look at the multiplicity of uses. And many times, I have held my breath and prayed that somebody wasn't going to get killed because you've got a shrimp boat coming in and a paddleboard, or no offense, paddleboards, or whatever, a speedboat, and they don't understand that shrimp boats just don't stop. You know, It just doesn't. So you have safety issues that we're taking on. You also have an issue of what's going on around there. You're right. The parking issue, the nighttime uses, there are a lot of things. There's also an issue of design around Shem Creek. And as y'all know, I sat on the planning commission for 8 years. And so I was part of that discussion of trying to lower those heights on Coleman Boulevard around Shem Creek. And I was very much on top of that and ahead of that. But design issues, you know, do we want that area to look like a maritime district? So it's more than just those buildings. Oh, those buildings are really, really important and near and dear to everybody's hearts. But it's a big deal. And frankly, $125,000, you're talking about stormwater. And I understand those discussions. That's big bucks. But I'm going to tell you something. I personally believe that $125,000, a total of $175,000, is a pittance to take care of an area that is supposed to be the most iconic spot in this entire town. And that's not just my opinion. That's Southern Living's opinion. That is everybody that visits here opinion. And I hear it. I'm out on that dot more than I probably should be. And I hear it from people all over the world. And they talk about, wow, what an incredible place this is and how lucky we are to have that in our hearts in this town. So, you know, I just plead with you. And I know it's hard to spend money. You know, I'm a really fiscally conservative person, and I've never, ever thought about spending money. But I can tell you this. This is money more than well worth spending. And I just hope that you can find it in your heart and in your budget. And I know that's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, to do this, because I think that it really does need that attention. I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ms. Landy?
A couple questions. So putting aside I don't mean putting aside, just saying for a second, okay, emotionally and professionally, I think we all want to do everything possible to maintain Shem Creek and improve. We have water quality issues that are extremely serious. We have all kinds of things, all the things that have been mentioned today. So I think the question before us right now is, first of all, when was the $50,000 appropriated? How many years ago was that for this task force?
It was done mid-year 2016. It carried over into fiscal year 17, and then now it's, 18, and now it's carried over into 19.
Okay, so the original thought in setting up a task force and starting this process, although I guess the task force has been around a lot longer than that, according to Cheryl, so was to fund this, and I'm sure thought was given as to what that would cost. So one of the issues I have is, so the RFQ process brought up these two talented firms who submitted a proposal that's going to cost $175 instead of $120, instead of $50. That's a lot of difference. That's written in the letter that it's a lot of difference. What exactly will they be accomplishing with that money? Because we spent a lot of time talking about $50,000 for workforce housing and, you know, attainable housing, and it took a long time and a very difficult vote. So $125,000 to me is a lot of money for a task force, unless we know where that money's going.
I think Cheryl can speak of the scope.
Yeah, y'all, we actually went out three times to get firms to even respond. And the problem was that nobody's going to do anything for $50,000. Let me just, you know, it's not like we just said, okay, we're going out, we found these two firms, it's going to be $175,000, good, let's ask for the money. Three times. We're lucky to have the folks that have responded, and, you know, they could probably spend a whole lot more than that. But we understood that, we understood right away, because we didn't have a lot of takers, it was never going to be able to be done for $50,000. The proposal is out there for everybody to look at. The request is out there, it's very public, and it absolutely details what it is that we're looking for, and it's pretty comprehensive. I mean, it's pretty big. It's a pretty big proposal, and which is why we had a hard time getting somebody to, of course, come up with the funds. So
we'd be able to get the scope, not the results, but the scope of that prior to Tuesday's council meeting?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, because like I said, I mean, if I, even though I'm aware we have a task force, if I'm not sure what's in the scope, I will go back and study this.
I hope, absolutely. I want y'all to do that.
Public also is not as aware of this as we may think they are.
Well, it's probably gotten cold after Tuesday, but the scope is pretty new, right?
You can get the scope to Christine. We can have it distributed to the rest of the council members.
Thank you so much.
I just want to make sure that we also include some other things. We've been talking for a long time about cleaning up the creek. And Hillary is our local expert here. She's got a wealth of information. I'm sure she could share with you guys, but we're responsible for that. The town's responsible for that. And so we came up with some ideas when I was on the water committee about somehow alerting people and let them know after a hard rain whether the water quality is okay to swim in.
There was actually another task force that wasn't associated with us that was dealing strictly with water quality, and we were asked to allow them to do their jobs and not include it with us, because they were getting down in the weeds kind of stuff, you know, on water quality.
Who was that?
I have no... I don't know, to be honest with you.
We have that in-house working with Mount Pleasant Water Works, Charleston Waterkeeper, and some others. I mean, the water quality piece, which we're obligated to ensure under federal law, we've got that. We've got the expertise to handle that.
Let me ask one more question. As far as, for instance, situation with the Wando docks, are y'all looking into the future of those type of things, situations
It's... It's a little bit of a shame that we were not able to get this proposal going before that's done. Now, that being said, what we put together, the plan we put together, could ultimately not necessarily dictate, but it could determine how the future is with those docks or anything else down there, no question about that. Because, you know, this is a plan, but with a plan, then the elected body needs to look and see what do we need to change in terms of enforcement or ordinances or vision or whatever. Yeah, so, I mean, it could have the potential of determining what the entire thing looks like, absolutely, down the road. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Bustos.
Yeah, Eric, for the $125,000 additional dollars, what do we expect to get in hand for that money?
Yes, sir. It would be a report by the successful bidding consultant that accomplishes the scope of services. And I apologize, I can't recall the full extent of the scope today, but it is a lot involved. And
that report has to be translated into action by staff, council, whatever?
Yes, sir, that's correct. And that was one of the issues referenced in a communication with you, was that your comprehensive plan is moving along at a certain speed, and there's a section referring to Shem Creek in it. And so when this project is done, you would have to go back and take the recommendations from this consultant, open back up the comp plan, marry the two together, deliberate, amend the comp plan to whatever recommendations come from this report that you like. And so the mechanics are a little not perfect.
Yeah, and quite honestly, therein lies my problem with this, is that, you know, we hired Thomas and Hunt, and they went and looked at the basins in the old part of Mount Pleasant. It was a definitive plan. You know, they were consultant, but they said, to fix it, you got to do this. And it was pretty black and white about what it was. With this, we're going to get a report. The report's going to go, there's a report. We paid $125,000 for a report. And people look at it, well, maybe we'll do it, and maybe we won't. It's not definitive. It's not like we're going to put pipe in the ground, or we're not going to put pipe in the ground for drainage. And I think there's some very good points made about how Shem Creek's going to look, but I think that's going to be just as what has been put in place and changed, which resulted in something like the garage. Things will be put in place and then changed, and the report from a consultant that we paid $125,000 for still sits on the shelf. So I just think that's, you know, it's great, hire a consultant, he says all this stuff, but no one has to have any buy-in on what the consultant says. You know, the consultant says what the consultant says. And when these things about height and density and heaven forbid there's a catastrophic storm and buildings that are damaged more than 51%, what can be done with those are going to have to be addressed. And I don't think that a consultant's plan now is going to prepare, you know, deal with the reality, because 6 months from now, when more is built or things are moved, that report is out of date. And we can't set ourselves up to be spending $125,000 every couple of years to update a report.
Ms. Landing?
A couple things. One is, I believe it's going to be the 50 plus the 125, so it's 175. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about paying a consulting firm $175,000 to determine all the things that they believe need to be done to maintain and improve the Shem Creek waterfront for the sake of the shrimping industry and tourists and everything else, that everyone else who uses that area. I guess my concern, which is not that dissimilar, is pretty similar to Mr. Bustos, I'm sorry, is that this proposal or this request for proposal, that information would have been really helpful to have today. Because if we vote today, like if I, for instance, vote now for a $125,000 increase on our budget, and I didn't have that information into me as to why it was costing so much more than was originally projected, it seems a little irresponsible on my part. So I guess I can abstain since I don't have that. It's my fault I didn't realize, but I have to say I went through the minutes and I didn't see that. So,
well, it wasn't provided, and you'll have it before Tuesday evening. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Santos.
You know, I like to go back in history sometimes and look at things that we've done, and we listen to the same type of arguments now as we did back when we started Phase 1. If you remember correctly, we had all the people came out, oh, my God, $6 million to buy marsh and to do all these things, and the OK Tire building is a small piece of land. You guys are crazy. And we got a lot of grief from that, but we approved it, and now look at it. It's one of the nicest little parks that we have. We're so proud of it. People use it all the time. It was an investment in our community. And I look at this as an investment in our community as well. They're going to look at a lot of situations, a lot of issues, and then come back to us so that we continue to keep that the creek the way it is. And like I said, I use Phase 1 as a prime example. Everybody loves it. I mean, I go out there and I see people walking all the time and fishing and crabbing off that facility, and they love it. Phase 2 is going to be fantastic for the creek. So the key is, it's an investment in our future. It's investment in our children's future as well. When they have children and they start using the creek and things, it's not like it's just a report. This thing is really going to, in my opinion, is going to really give us kind of a roadmap of how we should, you know, continue either to develop or not develop Shem Creek, and how it should be developed and managed. So that's what I'm looking at this report as.
Is there any other comments on this? Okay, we do have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
I'm going to abstain.
Okay, so we have two aye, a no, and one abstention. Okay, thank you, everybody. Good conversation.
That makes it a positive vote?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Don't be shaking your head back there.
Yes.
For work, would you also like a council... It would require a budget amendment. So options for
where the
funds will come from out of the current budget.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Or not.
Okay.
You know, you tell us all of that.
We'll have that ready.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Item number 5: consideration of approval to amend the policy regarding requests for public records under the Freedom of Information Act schedule. I think Marcy can hit this one out of the park pretty quick.
Yes, sir. State code was updated last year, and to ensure compliance, the town of Mount Pleasant adopted this policy, and we refer to it as FOIA. As part of the state update, the fees for search, retrieval, and redaction of records shall not exceed the prorated hourly amount of the lowest paid employee who has the necessary skills and training to perform the request. The town established that rate as the starting pay of administrative clerk. However, after a year of using this rate, it has shown us that the actual cost for the different tasks are much higher in some areas. It's requested that the fee for the search and retrieval of electronic records be at the starting rate of pay for an information technology technician, and that the fee for redaction of exempt information be at the starting rate of a legal secretary. For those searches and retrievals that require the use of an outside vendor, we would request that it be at the actual cost incurred by the town.
Makes sense.
So,
make a motion, we approve that?
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion, it passes. Item six, consideration of amendment to the Human Resources Guidelines, Section 6.2 for business trips.
Yes, sir. A few changes to the business trip section of the Human Resource Guidelines are proposed. The first change has to do with how per diem is handled. Currently, employees have to provide detailed receipts of all eligible purchases and are reimbursed based on actual costs, not to exceed the per diem rate for that area. We would like to change it so that employees receive the per diem rate and they do not have to provide the detailed receipts. The administration to verify and track these receipts is estimated at 300 hours annually at a cost of about $10,000. In checking with other municipalities in the region, City of Charleston, North Charleston, Charleston County, Somerville, we are the only municipality that still requires detailed receipts. The amount of per diem overage that was returned last year was $8,491.01, which is less than what we estimate is our administrative cost to do. Two other small amendments are recommended. The use of personal vehicles for travel, we'd like it to be pre-authorized. It just didn't state that. And that travel is not expected to begin prior to 6. We've had some cases of going to Columbia for 8 a.m. meetings where they would have had to travel before 6:30 and then it required a hotel, and we thought that was a little excessive. We'd like to have more people go to more training, and this helps with that.
You left out one government, Charleston County Parks and Recreation.
Oh, sir, and what do they do, sir?
We do per diem, yes, like everybody else does.
Okay, thank you.
So, you know, just to editorialize a little bit, it appears to be such a usage of staff time to end up with the same result that you would have otherwise. And I think that's why every government has changed this. The other thing that's difficult, too, if somebody wants to go and have a beer, we won't mention any names. But then the receipt process is totally different too, and you go back and forth. So I'll be supporting this. Any comments?
Motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. Let's call for the vote. All in favor of this change, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. It passes, and that concludes our business, and the meeting will adjourn. Before our time.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
And move forward. I see Eric's point and tying it back to the system. I do.